Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It's a Monday. Moving into December. Here we go. Football really counts now. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and right here on FS1, 1 hour from now, where Colin was right, where Colin was wrong. Plenty of both. Great Monday Night Football game tonight. Seahawks, a real Super Bowl contender, I believe, if they can get their pass rush right. Joy Taylor is joining me. Joy, how are you?
I am great. That was an interesting set of games yesterday.
It was. And it was an interesting, going back to last Thursday, it's a very interesting place we are in the NFL. So it's funny. When I was a kid, I used to get like a pocket schedule of my favorite college or pro football teams, and I would do like WL, WL. And I always try to be realistic. I never want to be a fan like, we got 14-0, the Seahawks will never lose a game, when I was a kid. And I always tried to be realistic. So when I predicted the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would go 10-6 and as a wild card team, I don't remember every game I picked, but right now, here's the W's and L's from week one. L, WWWL, WWWL, WLL. Four left should all be WWWs. Three of the teams they play, Atlanta twice, Detroit, are bad. So your pocket schedule, this is exactly what you did and I did. Right? We picked them to be 10-6. Most of you picked them to be 9-7 or 10-6. There were a few doubters and a few they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's what we all did. And then this morning, everybody's like, whoa, what is going on? I don't know. They lost close to Patrick Mahomes. This is all very predictable. They're a work in progress. They're very talented. And because there was no preseason, they're thrown together. This is where they are. They're 7-5. It looks like they're going to win three of their next four or four games to go 11-5 or 10-6. That is exactly the high end that 90% of us had. My question with this, Joy is my witness, was never about Tom Brady's age, and it was never about his arm. I never questioned that. I lived in Tampa, and I lived next to Boston. I said, you're talking about Tom Brady, rigid, efficient, willful, aspirational, driven, moving to loosey-goosey Tampa cocktails at four with Bruce Arians. No biscuit if you don't risk it. That stylistically was my concern. And this morning it still is. It's not about Tampa's talent. It's not about Brady. Did you notice Tony Romo yesterday? And I love Tony. How he was defending Tom Brady for 3.5 hours. Anybody notice that? Why would that be? Because star quarterbacks protect star quarterbacks. And Bruce Arians came out with a flamethrower and ripped Brady last week. And so Tom Brady called up his buddy Tony Romo and said, you know, here's the story. And so if you listen for 3.5 hours, it was Tony Romo defending Tom Brady. That's all it was. And that's the game they're playing now. The concern with me, and it's always been a concern, is that when people are successful, they're even harder to change. It's hard to get anybody to change once they get to be 40, 50 years old. But if you're the most successful player in the history of America's most popular sport, Tom Brady, the idea that you're going to go loosey-goosey and throw the ball over the top all the time and be comfortable, you're not. That's why I think there's a strong possibility Bruce Arians is not around next year and he retires with a big check. I don't think Arians and Brady, they're so different football-wise. They're so different personality-wise. They're so different lifestyle-wise. They're both winners. But I don't think that's the fit. I never did. Now, I said they're going to be good enough to win a bunch of games because they got a bunch of talent. I like the GM. I like Arians. I love Brady. But there's nothing really surprising about any of this. As I said, a couple weeks ago, I led the show. I said, when you're a parent, the days are long and the years fly by. In the NFL, Sundays are crazy, but the year is so predictable. Tampa's going to end up exactly where you predicted. Y'all predicted 9-7 and 10-6. You didn't have them winning the division. Yeah, the Saints have been 13-3 last 2 years and brought everybody back. You didn't have the Buccaneers winning the division. Nobody did. Except crazy people. But this season has been so predictable for Tampa. The only thing I worried about, I think, is the problem. Not because I'm smart, because it's obvious. I lived in Tampa. I lived near Boston. I followed Brady. I followed Arians. Their personalities are different. You're seeing a clash here. I don't think it lasts 2-3 years. I think at the end of this year they'll make decisions. I think Tampa goes to the playoffs, wins a playoff game, maybe two. But none of this is surprising. We all grabbed our little pocket schedules and did the WL game. We all did it. And right now it's LWWWL, WWWL, WLL, and we'll finish WWWW. That's what it's going to finish. Sundays are crazy. It's all very predictable. Here's Tom Brady after.
No, it's just the external noise that when you're losing, you know, that's what you deal with. So, I love playing for the guys that I play with, the coaches, the whole organization's been unbelievable. And I think we just got to go out, and I certainly have to do a better job the last 4 weeks of the year. So appreciate it. Just have a good week.
All right, Monday Night Football tonight, Seattle and Philadelphia, and here's why it's big. Because what we have in the NFL right now, it's pretty clear, and I don't think any of us would argue. We have three really good teams. The Chiefs, the Steelers, and the Saints are really good. They're not perfect. Sometimes the Chiefs don't play with a ton of urgency. Steelers don't run the ball consistently. And the Saints, frankly, don't throw the ball over the top. But in a salary cap era, they're about as good as you're going to get. They're really good teams. And the Chiefs and the Steelers and the Saints also have something else in common. They have excellent general managers. Draft well, develop well. And all three coaches, Tomlin, Sean Payton, and Andy Reid, have Super Bowls. And we know Breeze, Big Ben, and Mahomes are good enough to win a Super Bowl. Those are the three best teams in the league. Now, the fourth best team changes every week. Yesterday, it was Tennessee. 2 weeks ago, it was the Rams. 3 weeks ago, the Colts rolled Tennessee. It was the Colts. Some weekends, last night, could it be Green Bay? Tampa Bay against the Packers looked like the fourth best team. And the Raiders on one Sunday at Arrowhead Stadium, they looked like the fourth best team. So we know the three best. Put them in any order. I would go Kansas City, Pittsburgh, New Orleans. But the most interesting fourth place team, the team that has the highest ceiling, plays tonight, Seattle. And this is very interesting. So Seattle has all the ingredients of a Super Bowl winning team. Head coach going to the Hall of Fame. Quarterback's a superstar. Playmakers all over the place. They can be physical or finesse. Chris Carson back tonight. Watch them get physical. They play from behind well. We know that with Russell. And they play with the lead well. They're good on the road. Excellent on the road. 10-1, their last 11 East Coast road games. And oh, by the way, they're in every game. They never get blown out. They lost to Buffalo by 10 this year, and that was a shocker. They're in every game. All the Super Bowl ingredients, except one thing. Ah, yeah. You got no pass rush. You got no defense. Here's what's very interesting. So Jamal Adams was hurt. He came back. He's back now. And Carlos Dunlap, Seahawks gave up a late draft pick to get Carlos Dunlap. Since they've played together, Seattle has 13 sacks. Tied for the NFL lead, I believe. And they have a young player named L.J. Collier. They drafted him a year ago from TCU, did nothing, a little hurt his first year, played great against Arizona. So if you watch that game tonight and you see a consistent pass rush from Seattle, then they're the fourth best team in the league. So tonight, because what I look for in Super Bowl teams is ingredients. The Steelers have it, the Chiefs have it, and the Saints have it. And everybody else, every week, Tennessee looks like it. Then it's the Rams. Then it's the Bucs. Then it's the Packers. Watch Seattle tonight. If they get a pass rush, they're my four. And they've got the players and the components, Dunlap, Jamal Adams, and L.J. Collier. So I think that's kind of where we stand on a Monday morning as we head out of Thanksgiving. Fourth team. Looking for the ingredients. Seattle has all of them except the consistent pass rush. Will they do it in back-to-back weeks? Because they did it last week against Arizona. If they do it again tonight, you got yourself a potential Super Bowl team in the Pacific Northwest. Coming up next, the one thing, and I know Kansas City's great, but the one thing that would worry me, and there's nothing Kansas City can do about it. They can't correct it. They can't solve it. They can't fix it. And it's going to be here for the next several years with this Kansas City Chiefs team. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Do you own or rent a home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get a quote today at geico.com. Good to have you in with Joy Taylor. So I've always had this sort of belief that if money's too easy, you get in trouble in life. You should have to work for it. Hollywood money is all cheekbones and clear skin. It's too easy. That's why there's so many messed up Hollywood families. There's a lot of fortunes in retail. Retail's hard. In waste management, in insurance, annuities. There's a lot of fortunes been made in those. That's hard money. That's hard money. Dealing with the public, waste management, you know what you're dealing with. Hollywood money's too easy. It's glamorous, too easy, too quick. If you hit it big, it's just too easy. Making $500,000 to put something on Instagram? Got to be kidding me. That's why I got so many messed up families. And I watch Kansas City, and they're starting to remind me of the Kevin Durant, Steph, Clay Warriors the first year. It's too easy. And psychologically, when it's that easy, it's hard to play with a ton of urgency. Think about this. If I told you Patrick Mahomes had 462 yards, three touchdowns, no picks, Tyreek Hill had 270 yards, Patrick Mahomes had 124 passer rating, you'd be like, oh my God, who they beat 46-13? No, actually, they won 27-24, and if not for completing a third down pass, 43-year-old Tom Brady at home got the ball left with a minute. They were great on third down. They had 20%, 25% more first downs. They dominated time of possessions. Mahomes was perfect. Tyreek Hill was unguardable. And they won 27-24 and needed a third down completion to seal it. In New England, that was waste management. That was annuities. It was never easy. I mean, the Randy Moss years for a couple years in the regular season looked easy, but it wasn't easy in the postseason. I mean, Tom Brady went to 9 Super Bowls in New England. 8 of them were one possession games. And the 9th one, the Rams, he was awful. Tom Brady never scored a touchdown in the first quarter of any Super Bowl he's been in. Think about that. It's always been hard. New England won with efficiency and detail. It was never easy money. And I think that's why it was always every New England game. You rarely saw them. I mean, Joy and I watched the last 15 years of that. They were never inconsistent. You got the same team every week. Kansas City, you don't get the same team every half. It's not a knock on it, but they scored 10 points in the final three quarters. When you're so brilliant, when you're so beautiful, when it's so easy, when you're so talented, and it's effortless, it gets to your head. It's hard. You know, the Chicago Bulls were really consistent. I mean, they'd have the occasional bad game against an expansion team, but, you know, as great as the Chicago Bulls were, they weren't pretty. They were tough. Scottie Pippen never shot a great jumper. Michael scored a lot of his points at the rim getting tackled. Dennis Rodman, old guys with knee braces like Steve Kerr. I mean, they had these Will Perdues. And if you go look, Ron Harper's, if you go look at the DNA of the Chicago Bulls, the greatness of their dynasty was, it was never easy. Kobe, Shaq, that was easy. There were some easy times. Magic, Kareem, sometimes it was easy. But it wasn't easy. It wasn't easy with New England's dynasty. It wasn't. To the very end, they were trailing Seattle. They were trailing Atlanta. They struggled against the Rams. They all looked like the Eagles Super Bowl or the Giants Super Bowl. They all looked like that. And so as I watch them, I think to myself, well, Andy Reid's going to have to put his foot down with this team a lot. They're young. They're talented. It's easy money. The wins come easy. The points come fast. And you go back to that Kevin Durant, Steph, Clay Warriors. The first year flew through it like Kansas City last year. Kansas City week 12, defense is healthy, flies through the league. Second year, the Warriors, KD, Steph forced to 7 in the Western Conference Final. The year after that, they went to 6 games in the first round and 6 games in the second round against clearly inferior teams. Some of this stuff, when you win early and it's easy and it's effortless and you're brilliant, it's not the hitting. It's the head. You got to battle yourself. I don't remember seeing a team. I mean, Kansas City, I don't even that's why I compare them to the Warriors. I don't remember any NFL team that scores this fast, this quick, this easy. It looks like a 7-on-7 drill. And Tampa's got a defense. It looks like high school 7-on-7 stuff. It's just kind of strolling back there, and Mahomes just keeps backpedaling and backpedaling and backpedaling. He plays like nobody else does. He just keep back. 7-step drop, he's like 13 steps back. Then kind of sign, arms it up the field. Oh, nobody can guard Tyreek Hill. Another touchdown, 270 yards. Fastest guy in the league. Best tight end in the league. Best quarterback arm in the league. Running backs can play. Offensive line can block. Coach is brilliant. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
I can see Nick Wright right now watching that rant.
Oh, like, I was on the phone with him. And the minute Mike Evans caught that from Brady, Nick's like, I got to go. That's exactly what he hung up on me. He goes, and his TV, because he's on the East Coast in New York, his TV is 6 seconds ahead of me. So Brady walking up to the line, Nick goes, on! I'm like, what? Oh, I got to go.
It's hard to watch games with anyone who is like a little bit ahead or behind you.
Yes.
It's like, oh, let's just text. So the Packers made it look easy last night. It was pretty much unwatchable by the third quarter.
Chicago games are really increasing. I know it's a big market. Their games are tough to watch.
Well, they win ugly, and they lose ugly. They lose ugly, too. 41-25. Packers beat the Bears last night. Aaron Rodgers threw for 211 yards and 4 touchdowns. He also became the 11th player to reach 50,000 career passing yards and hit that mark with the second fewest attempts in NFL history. So still brilliant. Green Bay's defense also had a big game, forcing 3 turnovers from Trubisky, who is making his first start since week 3 and suffered his first loss of the season.
Nicest bad quarterback ever. He's such a wonderful kid. You can tell the players like him. When I watch him,
everybody likes him. Even Tony Dungy could not bring himself to be critical of him.
I mean, I just think Mitch Trubisky's one of those guys that you would love as a friend. He would drive you to the airport even if he was sick and down in the dumps. But I didn't get it when he came out. I don't get it now. And it's just they got to reboot the quarterback situation in Chicago, or else it's going to be this against Green Bay for the next 3 years.
We definitely need more nice people in the world.
Yes.
There's nothing wrong with being nice. But
I'll take a little less nice at quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, you could just be 10% less nice and we'll deal with it for, you know, an upgrade in that position. I just feel bad for Chicago fans. And I've felt like this for the past couple of years with Chicago, which is why I think it's so strange that they're consistently in this predicament at the quarterback position. Not that it's easy to find a quarterback, but, I mean, we all know who they pass up on.
Well,
so my thing is, like, you have a defense that is capable, right?
You know what they did? That Jay Cutler had a great arm but was incredibly difficult.
Right.
And then they go interview Mitch Trubisky. And they don't like the arm, but he's such a nice guy.
So, you overcorrect.
So they overcorrected. So the word on what Chicago did is that Cutler was so poisonous in the locker room and so difficult. They didn't like the guy, but they loved his talent. And then they went and interviewed Trubisky, and they didn't love his talent, but they loved the guy. And they thought, you know what? He's everything Jay's not. Everybody will love him. He's athletic. His arm isn't great. The throwing motion, the mechanics are awful. But they overcorrected. It's like we've all done this before. You know, you date somebody and they're super nice, but you can walk all over them. So then you want to date somebody that you can't walk over. And after about a year, you're like, I miss walking over somebody because now this person's driving me nuts. Trubisky's the opposite of Cutler. And the truth is, the answer is somewhere in the middle.
As with most things in life.
That's right.
And look, I'm not going to sit here and act like it's easy to find the perfect franchise quarterback. It's not, obviously. Every team goes through patches of this, and that's understandable. My thing is, you can't fool the locker room, right? Like, it's fine to be a great person, and that's actually a nice thing to do. But at the end of the day, players want to win. So if Jay Cutler was a horrible person and was winning, everyone would overlook it. The problem is that generally doesn't happen. Like, you don't have a lot of stories of great leaders who are half the locker room hates. That's not how it works. So again, like we always talk about, just find some balance in life.
Right.
And don't disregard the actual tangibles of a real good player. So the Patriots keep their playoff hopes alive, miraculously, with a big win over the Cardinals. Cam Newton struggled all day, but two rushing touchdowns from James White and a game-winning field goal from Nick Folk were enough to win 2017. The Patriots' defense was solid, limiting Arizona's offense to just 298 yards, and it was their second lowest of the season. And Kyler Murray did not have a passing touchdown for the first time this year.
Well, again, let's be fair now. So what is Belichick known for? What is Belichick the best in the NFL at?
Defense.
Well, not only that, he is Einstein against young quarterbacks. Well, Josh Allen's been terrible. Darnold's been horrible. So Kyler Murray's like, okay. He doesn't get to see him in a division. He's never seen Belichick's defense. And Belichick, all these young quarterbacks, you know, this is one of these.
Yeah, his record against young quarterbacks is staggering.
It's like 31-3. And so Kyler never seen Belichick. He has no idea what he's going to get defensively. And Cliff Kingsbury's a college coach, just became an NFL coach. So when I watch that game, I'm like, oh. After, it's one of those you should have betted after the fact. I'm like, oh, of course Kyler Murray's struggling because Josh Allen struggles and Kyler struggles. All Baker struggled against him. All young quarterbacks struggle.
It's just the experience.
Yep.
Cardinals are now 6-5. So if you look at the AFC playoff picture, though, we're talking about the Patriots still being in the mix. They're at 5-6, Raiders 6-5, and the Ravens are 6-4. So they are still technically in the hunt in the playoffs. They have the Chargers, Rams, Dolphins, Bills, and Jets left. So
how is New England in the hunt? This is an unbelievable coaching job. It really is. They have no playmakers.
It is, and consider Cam Newton being out for COVID as well and the struggles that they had when he came back. But the rest of their season is really interesting, though. At the Chargers, at the Rams. The Rams are the most inconsistent good team in the league. The Dolphins, Bills, and Jets.
Oh, by the way, so Belichick faces another young quarterback next week, Justin Herbert. What's the line on that game? Take the Patriots against Justin Herbert. This is the classic. Herbert's never faced Belichick.
Then they have at the Rams. Then they're at the Dolphins, which is another young
quarterback.
They'll
lose those two.
Still another young quarterback in Tua. They usually don't play well in that late game in December in Miami. They usually struggle, even with, like, that was notorious. Tom Brady's not there now, but still. Finally, some news that I thought you were the first person that I thought of when I saw this news. The Lions have fired head coach Matt Patricia and GM Bob Quinn.
Yeah.
The move comes after the Lions fell to 4-7 after a 41-25 blowout loss to the Texans on Thanksgiving for the whole world to watch. Patricia was in his third season as Detroit's head coach and at a 13-29-1 record with the team. The Lions finished last in the NFC North in 2018 and 2019, and the season's under him. And Bob Quinn had been the team's GM since 2016.
So as of yesterday, now the Jags fired their GM this morning, but as of yesterday, four of the five people fired in the NFL coach or GM were tied to Belichick. Proximity to brilliance does not equal... You could stand next to Einstein your entire life. It doesn't make you smart. All these New England people that come out...
It's really... I have a theory on this, though.
You do, too?
Because we talk a lot about how successful or how much more successful the Andy Reid coaching tree has been from Belichick. And I think it's because while Belichick is a genius, we all know his personality at this point.
Yeah.
Andy Reid is the opposite personality of Bill Belichick.
So is Mike Holmgren.
Great, great football mind, respected football mind, but he's always described as a teacher.
Yes.
He's not described as a genius, even though he has a brilliant football mind. He's a teacher. And I think that that is what leads to a more successful tree. Yeah. Like you're giving more of your thoughts and you're collaborating more. And there's nothing wrong with either way. Obviously, Belichick is most successful, maybe the greatest coach of all time.
Well,
but
I mean,
that's why I think when you see the people that leave him, they don't have the same success.
Steve Jobs at Apple leaves Apple. Apple tanks. Now you'd think, oh, these guys worked around Steve Jobs. They got his brilliance. Why did Apple go down? You can't share genius. I mean, Steve Jobs left the now he builds it back up. They give it to Tim Cook, and there's and by the way, he's great. Don't get me wrong, but it'll never be Apple. Like, and that's my thing with Belichick. He's the smartest football coach ever, but his tree's not very good. This is why I think Brian Flores has been such an admirable. By the way, Joe Judge and Brian Flores, a year in, you're like, okay, this may work. Does not go crazy, but it may work. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Let's go to Michael Vick, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. 13 seasons, four, a Pro Bowler, most career rushing yards by a quarterback in league history. So I was saying this earlier, is that Tom Brady is so driven and detailed and intense. And it's not the football stuff, but Arian's kind of loosey-goosey, cocktails at six. That's just kind of, that's his style. And I do wonder, Michael, if their personalities are a perfect fit. So I want to ask you, go back to your career. Was there a coach where your personalities maybe just, you were different people, and then was there a coach where it really clicked, that you had the same kind of goals and lifestyle? Because I think Brady and Arians, I think they're totally different human beings, football life, lifestyle. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think when I played for Jim Moore Jr., our personalities was just totally different. Jim was a defensive coach and it focused more on the defensive side of the ball. And he was an outgoing personality, and he fired up the troops on the defensive side of the ball. On the offense, it was just up to us, you know, Greg Knapp, to put it together. When I got to Philadelphia, you know, it was Andy Reid. Andy Reid was an offensive mind. He was, you know, it was something about him that attracted me to him every day, even if it was just for me to go into his office and just talk football on the random. So, you know, just his aura alone. And, you know, his offensive mind just made me gravitate to him more and more. And it's some truth to that. But this situation, you got two guys who, you know, share offensive mind, great at what they do, and can't find a way to make it work, which is kind of awkward right now.
So, listen, it should have been more. It was 27-24. If you wake up this morning and you're Brady, do you look at it and think we're in trouble? Or do you look at it and think, hey, listen, we just lost to the best team in the league 27-24, and we moved the ball on Kansas City the last half of the game. What's Brady thinking this morning?
I mean, it was second half heroics, but when you wake up this morning, the only thing I would be thinking about if I'm Tom Brady is the two games that we have to play against Atlanta, a divisional opponent. You know, they're playing some good football right now, and they're playing aggressive, and they're playing with a lot of confidence, and it's not going to be an easy task beating that team. So, you know, they still have some games in front of them that they have to go out and earn. They're going to have to go out and win, and they got to have to find a way to put it all together in a short period of time.
You know, we were talking about Kansas City, Michael, that they remind me a little bit when Kevin Durant played with Steph and Clay. They scored so quickly and so easily that it's sometimes like you're just like, man, this is easy. And it's hard to play with urgency when stuff comes easy. And I watch Kansas City sometimes and I think, this is a little Warriors. Like, there are times.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see some of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason why those guys play so hard is because Andy Reid is on the sideline. If you don't get it right, if you don't do what he's asking you to do within the framework of his offense, then you won't be out there playing. And it's a lot of guys to get credit for this. I mean, obviously, the entire offense started with Patrick. You know, Eric Bieniemy, and it's a guy in that organization, quarterback coach Mike Kafka, who's a quarterback mind as well. We was together in Philadelphia, and you know, another guy who's going to come up under that Andy Reid tree, just like Joy just mentioned, the tree is amazing. So, you know, when you out there, you got to be on the same. Everybody got to be on the same page. It can't be one person not knowing where he's going or not doing his job. It's very detailed in Kansas City. I'm telling you, I just know.
So tonight, I think it's one of the more interesting Monday Night Football games. Seattle is at Philadelphia. And I said this, is that when I watch Seattle, they've got all the ingredients of a Super Bowl team. They can play pretty. They can play physical. They're good on the road. I got Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson. They got playmakers. What's interesting is early in the year, they had no pass rush. But then they get Carlos Dunlap and Jamal Adams, and they have a young kid named L.J. Collier. And I watched him against Arizona, and I thought, oh, okay, here we go. All right, here we go. So if you go back to your – do you think – is it possible to solve a major problem with a football team halfway through a season?
Yeah, it is possible. I think when coaches look at the things that you don't do right and see – a way to correct it, the great coaches are going to be able to correct those players. And if the players buy into what the coach is saying, it's going to be easy for them to execute. You know, I think defensively, it's easy to fix that side of the ball whenever it's turmoil. You just got to pay attention to detail. And I've seen that happen on several teams that I played on, specifically in 2011 when we was 4-8 and we needed to win the last four to finish 8-8. And we did it, and our defense stepped up, and we was playing a totally different scheme. And, you know, it was the attitude and the mindset of the guys, but it was also them buying into the scheme and just believing in it because they didn't believe in it before. And we was able to rip off four straight. So that can be done.
So I'm watching Kyler Murray yesterday, and he struggled against Belichick. And Belichick owns young quarterbacks. So, and again, I'll say this, and I look at it now, I look at it now in hindsight, and I think, oh, of course I should have seen this. Yeah, of course. Tua's going to struggle against him, and Herbert's going to struggle against him, and Kyler's going to struggle against him. What does a great coach, maybe you face Belichick, what does Bill do specifically that makes it, that because everybody could copy what New England's doing. What does he do that makes even Kyler Murray struggle, young guys struggle?
It's almost like Andy Reid. I think in the National Football League, you have coaches who are good coaches, and then you have coaches who are great coaches. And, you know, Andy Reid is a great offensive mind. And when I think of some of the great defensive minds in the NFL, I instantly think about Mike Tomlin. I think about Bill Belichick. Why? Because they don't change. They believe in their scheme, and then, you know, they don't have to have players out there who are marquee players, Pro Bowl players. Players that just play hard and play within the system, and they get guys to buy in. And, you know, the one thing to buying into a system is you got to like what you're doing. Players got to go home and say, oh, this scheme is amazing. We're going to win with this scheme. I like it. We're going to have opportunities. We're going to create turnovers. And it becomes a reality. And when it does, you know, it makes it easier to go out and play for a coach like Bill Belichick. But it all starts with the scheme. He's one of the greatest defensive minds the game has ever seen.
What am I to make of Cleveland? They're 8-3. They clearly have taken the ball mostly out of Baker Mayfield's hands. I do think this, they got the right coach, Kevin Stefanski. There's no noise. There's no chatter. There's no cockiness. But you look at them and you're like, I know they're 8-3. I don't like him again. I look at him and I'm like, I wouldn't like him against any of the good teams. What do you make of Cleveland?
I'll say this, Colin. Everything that I've accomplished in my career, you know, and the way I had to do it, the way it had to happen, especially early on when I was in Atlanta, I would trade it all for the way the Cleveland Browns are playing right now, running the football and defense. Baker Mayfield's job is so easy right now. We always talk about managing the game. This is a true scenario of a guy just managing the game and doing it the way it's supposed to be done. And, you know, as he do it, they continue to win. He don't turn the ball over. You know, he don't have to worry about distributing the ball and putting the ball in this person's hands or this person getting their touches. Baker Mayfield can just be Baker Mayfield. And the credit to the Cleveland Browns organization for building this type of environment around him because it made their guy successful who's under the spotlight and under a lot of scrutiny. And it's made their team better. Now they sit at 8-3, and it's something to be proud about.
Did you ever have a year like that where you felt it was an easier year?
No. I can't think of a year where I came out of it like, man, the defense before. I take no credit away from the defense I played with. Like, I love every single teammate that I had. But there's never been a season where I was like, oh, the defense carried us that year. Not at all.
At least you're honest. I appreciate that.
I'm an honest man.
All right. Great seeing you, buddy. Mike Vick.
All right. Appreciate it.
Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Coming up next, Denver people are complaining. They're saying, hey, they should have canceled the game. And the Ravens, they're playing tomorrow night. Should the NFL cancel the games, push them down the road? I've got my thoughts on that coming up. Plus, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, top of next hour.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
One scoop, all it takes, mdrivestart.com, mdrivestart.com. Protein shake, had one this morning, vitamins, minerals, proteins, digestive enzymes, mdrive start. So one of the uglier games yesterday, I didn't spend a ton of time watching it, the Saints crushed Denver. Denver had to use basically a scout team wide receiver, Kendall Hinton, to be a quarterback because a COVID outbreak on their team. And, you know, a lot of people are saying it's unfair. The NFL should have pushed it back. And my takeaway is no. No, Jeff Driscoll, a quarterback for the Broncos, had tested positive. And then later in the week, players around him for Denver, quarterbacks for Denver, did not wear a mask around him. That's on Denver. That's not on the NFL to babysit. The NFL is not being subtle here. It's a cutthroat league. It always has been. They'll cut you. Tom Brady could be cut tomorrow. You got to know the company you go work for. You got to know their business sensibility. This is not the NBA. It's not what it is. It's not baseball, 10-year contracts. It's not international soccer. Stars sometimes don't pay taxes. They're dramatic. They date supermodel. NFL's hard. They're cutthroat. Bottom line, the Shield wins. Shield's more important than almost all the players. And the reality is they've been fining people and taking away draft picks. They've never been subtle about this. Here's the rules. Follow them. We'll give you weekly reminders. And if you don't, you don't play. And so Denver, we're going to make an example of you. I got no problem with it. By the way, the Baltimore Ravens, they're to blame for this mess. I feel bad, but they had a strength and conditioning coach. I know his name. I won't say it. Who was a non-master. Spread it throughout the team. Who pays the price? The Steelers, who didn't get a game check. Follow the rules. The well-run organizations in this league. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Rams, Seattle, Green Bay. They're not having outbreaks. Be well-run. Be responsible. This is not on the NFL. You know, at some point, the NFL's the parent and the players are the kids. And the NFL's like, okay, here's the ground rules. Here's the curfew. And by the way, I feel bad. I mean, do we treat COVID like an injury? I mean, I know people that have gotten it, and they're responsible people. I'm not pointing this and that. But the Baltimore situation and the Denver situation, those are on the teams and the players. And again, people are picking it. At the grocery store I go to, I don't go as much as I used to. Everybody wears masks. And I'm looking at studies where they say even wearing masks, the grocery store is like ground zero. People get it. So I'm not saying just irresponsible people get COVID. We're flying on planes. You hope you don't get it. But these two situations, teams have to own up to it. The NFL's not been subtle. They have not been the permissive parent. Fines, draft picks. You know, the Saints got caught in their locker room after the game, having a party, videotaping it, not wearing masks. Got fined. It's on you. The league told you they didn't want it. Got to follow directions. All right, so I don't talk boxing much on this show, but I watched the Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. fight. Yeah, I did. It was $50, whatever.
I watched it also.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. So I don't care if you agree with this or not, but Mike Tyson's 54, prove me wrong. I think he could, if given the opportunity, be heavyweight champ of the world still. I saw George Foreman do it. He was in worse shape than Tyson. And George Foreman didn't hit any harder than Mike Tyson. And the heavyweight division was better when Foreman was around than it is now. Can you name three heavyweights? Mike Tyson was clearly instructed against Roy Jones Jr. Don't hit above the shoulders. He could have ended that thing four punches in. Roy Jones Jr., the only reason, he even admitted after the fight, I'm sore. He was exhausted. Mike Tyson was told, don't go too high. So Tyson basically worked the body. Tyson could have ended this thing anytime he wanted to. And you call me crazy, this was an orchestrated, planned event. It was in Los Angeles. They weren't going to allow knockdowns, whatever that means. But they always tell you in boxing, this was not a draw. It was ruled a draw. It was not a draw. One guy was in shape. One guy had good movement. One guy still has power. In boxing, they always tell you, the last thing to go is power. You lose your legs. You lose your mobility. You lose your interest. Mike Tyson, I watched him and I thought, he's in great shape. If you gave Mike Tyson another 6 months and fought Tyson Fury, put him in there. And you know what? I'd watch. Because here's the thing. It's not the NHL or baseball or the NBA and the NFL. You got standings. When it comes to boxing, it's an event. And Mike Tyson, I like his events. And I sat there and I spent $49.99. And I'm sitting out there because I had to work the next morning. And I'm like, can we get to it? I know the musical acts are great. Love Snoop. Can we get to the fight? My wife kept saying, if they fought yet? And I'm like, no, this is what they do. You pay $50 and they make you sit through a bunch of stuff because they want more people to sign up and everybody got rich. But I'm sitting watching that. And at the end, I'm like, I don't feel guilty. I enjoyed it. And Tyson, given fair opportunities, I think could fight anybody in the world right now. Roy Jones Jr., he just took a paycheck. But Tyson, I'm like, prove me wrong. Put him in the ring. Tyson said he's going to fight again. I don't want any stipulations, no qualifiers. I don't want it orchestrated. I don't want it planned. Let's see him fight. Because I saw Foreman do it, and he wasn't nearly as nimble as Tyson. And I don't think he had the power that Mike Tyson still possesses. Calling right, calling wrong on a Monday. Next.